The History Man with Terry Kringle.
Hello. St. Patrick's Isle at Peel measures only 7 acres, but there's a lot of history packed into them. In 900 years, it has been the location of a cathedral and other holy places, a fortress, a prison, a seat of government, a sumptuous residence for the Lord of Man, and the background for one of the best-known of Manx ghost stories, the Mother Dhu, the Black Dog. But I will be focusing today mainly on the fortress on Peel Castle. The first defence works on the islet, which is an outlier of Peel Hill, from which it used to be separated by a 6-yard-wide sea channel where Fenella Beach is now, are believed to have been built by Magnus Barefoot, the last Norse king of Man who died in 1265. Those were dangerous times in the Irish Sea, and the island was threatened by English, Scots, Irish, and even French marauders seeking to loot and pillage. Magnus's defensive fort was built of wooden beams as a stronghold known as Apele, P-E-L-E, from which the Sunset City took its name. The timbers were hauled into position by hordes of men negotiating the channel as best they could. The islet was a fine place for a fort with, among other things, plenty of well water. But it was soon perceived that a timber fortress was open to attack by fire, and work began on a new structure of red sandstone ferried across the bay from quarries at Craigmallin. This was begun in 1302 by the rather oddly named Sir William Le Scrope, or Scroope, who had acquired the Isle of Man by purchase and applied for and got a licence from the Pope to strengthen the fortifications of St. Patrick's Isle to better protect St. German's Cathedral. The Isle of Man then passed into the possession of the Crown, and the new Lords of Man began to be appointed. Then the Half Moon Battery was built, and that completed the fortifications of Peel Castle. Now, of course, it had to be garrisoned. It was manned by 80 soldiers in 1660, but the number slowly declined, and by 1765, the year of revestment of the island into ownership of the Crown, the garrison was withdrawn completely, and Peel Castle began its decline. Sheep grazed within its walls, and steady structural damage began irresistibly. It had played an important role in the affairs of the Isle of Man, and in time the 7th Earl of Derby, the great Stanley, as he was known to the Manx people, he had a luxurious summer residence established within it for himself and his family. You must admit he had chosen a fine location for it. St. Patrick's Isle continued to be separated by the sea channel at the foot of Peel Hill, until in the middle of the 1700s, when a Peel merchant had an embankment built to give more protection to the inner harbour. This was widened in 1880 when the West Quay was built. By this time, Peel Castle was well into its complete decline. But there were some unsuccessful attempts to put his fortifications back into some kind of order, notably during the Napoleonic Wars. In spite of the threat that Napoleon would go to all the trouble of invading the Isle of Man, was inconceivable. What might have happened to what was left of the fortifications of Peel Castle in the fullness of time, we will never know. But the historical facts remained. Peel Castle could not be left to disappear completely. Fortunately, in 1863, Sir Henry Locke, later Lord Locke, arrived in the island as Lieutenant Governor, and whose years, 20 years in office, did more for the future of the Isle of Man than any other governor. He initiated a grant of funds for giving some care to Peel Castle and the other ruins surrounding it. And in 1902 it was visited by King Edward VII during a royal tour of the Isle of Man. In 1929 Peel Castle, along with Castle Rushen, was conveyed from Crown ownership to that of the Manx government. Now Peel Castle is cared for and cherished by Manx National Heritage as a major element of the story of Man. And it's always well worth a visit.